This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on, and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast. And around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right, this is Joy 94.9 and you're here again for another Tuesday night on Triple Bypass. And that song, of course, was Beautiful by the beautiful Katie Underwood. And my name is Anthony.
My name's James.
And
my name's Katie Underwood.
What a coincidence.
Do you know what? I think I'm actually retro now. How many years have to pass until you're officially recognised as retro? That's been like 16 years, maybe?
I suppose it depends on when gold.
Do I have to wait another four? Is it like a 20-year thing?
I reckon you can claim it.
All right, good. I feel validated somehow in a weird way.
Well, thank you. We have Katie Underwood on the show here tonight on Triple Bypass for a number of reasons.
We're going to
talk about a lot of things tonight.
I'm ticking all your boxes, so you've just told me.
Yeah.
Not in the way that people would think.
Let's put that in context.
You're going to explain that in just a minute.
Right. Well, we do have to play a certain number of Australian artists and or queer artists, and I was just saying how we get to tick those boxes
tick
with
both
you.
Both boxes, babe.
So thank you, darling.
You're welcome for
helping us out with that. So, no, it's really exciting to have you here in the studio. And as always, every Tuesday night, we'd like to get you, the listener, involved in our show. So feel free to send us a text or an email, get involved, say hello to Katie. You can do that on 0427 Joy949 or send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Or tweet us on at Triple Bypass. Or you can send us a message on Facebook as well. We're Triple Bypass on Joy94.9 on Facebook.
Does anybody ever record their pet birds and load that on Twitter? Has anyone done that? Like, I would.
Tweeting?
I'm not on Twitter, but if I was, I would like to do that. It appeals to me. If any listeners out there know of anyone who's actually done that, I would be very interested to know.
But then you'd have to record the sound of like a book flicking the pages of a book against your face and put that on Facebook.
Very clever.
You are way ahead
very
of me.
Very clever.
Okay, good.
What would you do for Instagram? I don't know. We're getting all...
I don't know. This is what I do. I throw people right off. You've got to watch me. You've got to give me, like, blinkers.
Keep me
focused.
Well, we've been watching you, Katie, and I want to go back to 2001.
I'll try not to take that in a creepy way, but
no,
okay.
No. Well, I'll take you to 2001. Well, this is the Triple Bypass show, and we do talk about things all bisexual and as far and wide and as broad as we can.
Let's do it. I'm bi. I'm here.
Right.
We're queer.
Yes.
Get used to it.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
And this
totally busted the suspense for the next 55 minutes. What have we got now? There's nothing left to say.
People just sitting there going,
that's
it.
Now we know.
I didn't know that. Oh, now I know.
Drum roll.
Now I know.
Do we need a drum roll? I think everyone. Well, people found out in 2001 after the Sydney Morning Herald article that came out that announced you, that outed you as bisexual.
Yes.
Was that something that was planned?
Well, no. I was just doing what I consider to be a normal interview with Herald Sun. You know, it's always pretty kind of, I don't know, cup of tea level, you know, how are you, what are you doing, what's your career like, all that. Wasn't supposed to be some in-depth probing interview. And she brought it up and said, so I think I was making sort of references to my lifestyle and my friendships and relationships and things. And she said, so are you bisexual? And I said, well, yes. I thought everybody knew that because very early on in my career in Bardot, people were referring to me as the gay one, the lesbian, and naturally anyone with short hair who wears glasses must be a lesbian.
Yes.
So, you know, that and I was smart. So, she's right. Definitely a lesbian, right. You know, a lesbian, darling. So, you know, that was very, very early on. And I didn't buck that trend because I thought, well, yeah, they're half right, so no drama. So when she asked me straight out, I'm like, well, yeah, what's the big deal? You know, so then they did the headliner, Katie casually comes out. And it's like, well, right. Yeah.
That's better than coming out intensely, I suppose.
Well, you know, I didn't need to fly a flag about it because I don't know. It wasn't a big deal for me. I mean, it was a big deal in the early days when I was 19 and I first came out in Adelaide. That was a bit of a deal.
As you know. Bisexual?
Yes. To my then boyfriend, right. Who didn't take it very well right. At all.
Because we know when, you know, and we've talked about this on this show a lot, that when we come out as bisexual, people don't actually see that as a thing. They think, okay, where are you in the scale of becoming a lesbian?
They don't know what to do. So, oh, don't you have to choose? When are you going to decide?
Right. Yeah, just waiting for the
have you always top. Thought I was hot? You know, this is the. So 50% of my, I'm not kidding, 50% of my then girlfriends. Half of them thought, you could see their brains ticking over thinking, so have you secretly been lusting after me all this time? And it's like, babes, don't put tickets on yourself.
Right.
And I had to actually explain to people, look, let me just make this clear. I said, okay, so you're straight. So do you want to get it on with every single man you see? Oh, well, of course not. I'm like, okay, so yeah. Do you get it?
Right.
I don't actually want to sleep with every single woman on the planet just because... I'm bi.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. Yeah. I have, you know, I've got standards.
We do a lot of explaining, don't we?
Yeah.
There's a lot of explaining to do.
But there was, it was genuine. You know, some of them genuinely just didn't understand it. They hadn't been exposed to it. They had no idea what to even do with it or how to process it. And when I said, look, I don't fancy you. It doesn't change our relationship. I still like men. And then, of course, for half of them, male and female, they're like, as soon as I say I still like men, they're like, oh, like relief. As if, oh, well, you're still half normal. You know, right. I can park right. that and just pretend I didn't hear the right. other bit. So, I don't know. Everybody finds their own way with it. But in the end, it didn't change what I'd realised, which was that was my truth.
Did it give you? Do you think it gave you a bit of street cred, or because I don't know, but the music?
Well, not then. I was a nobody then.
Right.
I was just a uni student. You know, who was I to be coming out back in Adelaide?
Well, I just wonder because you know, being in the public eye and sort of being so visible, I guess, and having a bit of a sort of, I don't know if you can say being bisexual gives you a bit of an edge, but it does something to people, doesn't it? It gets them to question something and to focus on you in a particular way.
Look, I certainly. I've seen some people do that and use it as an angle. For me, it was never something that I hid, but I was, I suppose, pretty conservative about it as well because at the time, around that time, I was married to a man who had very traditional Italian parents. It wasn't really something, it wasn't at all something they wanted to look at or talk about, and if they knew, they just pretended they didn't. So I was always, out of respect to them, not... really driving it home. But at the same time, it did not stop me wearing a purple latex catsuit in my first film clip. So, you know, for
nice.
People who know very things, nice. They're kind of like, yeah, she's, yeah.
And some people today, I think, can forget that it really wasn't that long ago. I mean, they forget just how far the whole LGBTI thing has come in a really short time.
Yeah.
I mean, we flipped the percentage of Australians who are in favour of marriage equality. Mm. We've flipped the percentage in less than 20 years.
Yeah.
Like it was like 30-70 and now it's 70-30. And that happened in an amazingly short time.
But I think a lot of that was probably just people didn't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, a bit like for those few people that just didn't understand what being bisexual meant. You know, people perhaps just didn't get what marriage equality was and how it was going to affect them and the fact that it really wasn't going to affect them at all.
Yeah.
And I think that's flipped the difference. It's that understanding that then leads people to acceptance and equality.
I agree. And that understanding comes through representation. And I think that's why it's so important that we have known you as an out and proud bisexual person.
Sure.
Not discounting all the other identities that you have in the world and all the other things that you do in your life.
You're not just bisexual.
I get that. Yeah.
Right. But it's also those things are very important. So so we want to get you involved in this very important conversation as well. And we're going to listen to a few tracks. So that number again for an SMS, if you do want to get involved, is 0427 Joy 949. Email is onair@joy.org.au
or tweet us at Triple Bypass.
So we're going to go to this track.
You need me to quickly explain this in 20 seconds, don't you? Okay, so This is my latest release. It's a collaboration with Tana, aka my mate Anton, who approached me about a year ago. He's a local hip hop artist, kind of a poet, really, stream of consciousness poet, I like to think. And so he came to me with this track, and it just had space, basically, to put a chorus on it, and for me to add my flourishes, basically, vocally. So, yeah, my job was to capture the essence of what he was saying in a very short space in the chorus, and I'm happy to say that we did that. The song ended up being called Eulogy. This is it. Don't you know that we are
We still need joy.
We still need joy.
We still need joy.
We still need joy.
Host Matt Spanger, we still need joy because joy is a community for everyone in all touch points. Unfortunately, those out there can't get to someone they might need or anywhere like that, and joy offers that platform. It's so important for us going forward.
Happy Radiothon.
We still need joy.
Joy 94.9.
Your voice, your radio station.
We still need joy, and we still need Triple Bypass. And you're here on a Tuesday night once again, and we've got Katie Underwood on our show today, celebrating her and not just her bisexuality, but not a whole range of other things too.
I like that it's called Triple Bypass, and there's three of us. Although there would normally be another co-host.
There would.
Which is very sad that she's not here, but it means we get to be the triple three tonight.
Last week we had our special Radiothon episode, and we had nine in the studio.
That's a lot of people to fit in this room.
I looked it up. There,
like, I'm already on your lap. And if there was more people in here, it was like, woo, it's getting hot.
As well.
It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, I looked it up on Google, and I couldn't find any evidence of anyone having undergone a non-tuple bypass.
Right.
So we just stuck with the triple.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, Katie, that was a song by Tana featuring you called Eulogy.
Yes.
And that song specifically is about death, you were
saying. It's a song about death. So we were talking about this in the break, and I was just saying the appeal for me early on was that it's not often that people write about death or about the afterlife in any way, because I guess that maybe there's the fear that you're going to offend, well, just about everybody by saying or projecting the right thing. But I really respected the way he was able to just reflect on it in a very personal way, and yeah, I was honoured to be given the opportunity to kind of add my voice and my sentiment to it. Yeah.
Right. So you're involved in, because you've a lot's happened since
a lot
the
has
Bardot
happened
days.
In the last 16 years, yeah.
As well as these music, and that's an awesome music video. Get onto YouTube and check it out.
Dane Edwards, yeah, very talented. The only one man, one cam film shoot I've ever been on. So heads up, just like hats off to you, Dane. You really did pull off an amazing clip.
It is. It's intense and it's very engaging. Mm. It's quite an intriguing video to watch.
Yeah.
How is music? How is that? Because that, I mean, I guess I describe that as intense and engaging because it touches, it sort of gets you to reflect on things that we don't normally do in our daily lives. You're involved in doing a whole range of that kind of stuff these days, aren't you? You do sound meditation workshops.
I work in healing, yeah.
Right, tell us about that.
Yeah, so I started my journey into healing by becoming a remedial massage therapist 8 years ago. I wanted to change careers. I was done with music. I mean, although almost as soon as I say that, I realise how untrue that was and is, but in the way that I'd known it in the past, and I thought, no, it's time to, you know, kind of put that to bed and move into something that I felt more aligned with, and that was healing. So I started out with massage, and then it evolved into massage and Reiki, and then I discovered the modern application of sound healing. So sound healing is an incredibly ancient thing. The people in your previous show would know a lot about that. The Aboriginal culture has been, you know, one of the earliest known healing instruments is the didgeridoo. So they know all about the power of healing with sound. But we're coming back into a modern awareness of it now. And so lots of people like myself and others are becoming sound healing practitioners and integrating that into my practice. So I do it one-on-one with my massage clients and do a fusion of massage and sound healing. But I also run, as you just mentioned, workshops for, you know, 10, 20, 30 people and take people through some guided meditation, some sound meditation where they're just lying back on yoga mats and just listening and experiencing the sound. And then I guide people through vocal meditation. So that's working with the group and actually making sounds as a group together for the purpose of healing. So that's really quite dynamic and energizing.
I'm really fascinated by the whole idea of touch these days, because as a like the Western culture really is quite afraid of touch. It's become very afraid of touch because it's like an automatically sexual thing. And I've known so many people who work in massage and things like that, where for a lot of people it's quite novel, and like it, for a lot of people it's the first time they've really been touched in a non-sexual way for years, and it can be incredibly powerful. Do you find that's the case as well?
I've been fortunate that I haven't had any, shall we say, unsavory experiences in that category. But I worked my first 4 years. I actually worked in a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center as a massage therapist. So I was exposed to many, many people who were on edge for many reasons. Either they were detoxing from drugs, or they were trauma victims, or they were in grief, or varying other degrees why people would be feeling raw. So it was one of the things that actually drew me towards other modalities like Reiki or like myofascial release, both of which I could do with the client fully clothed. And it was a way of engaging with someone who perhaps wasn't comfortable with getting naked, essentially, with someone that they've just met, let alone, you know, having someone put their hands on them. And I saw the need for that. So Reiki and myofascial release sort of helped me bridge that gap. But now, you know, even more so, if someone wants some intimate form of healing without being touched, then sound healing is another way to reach them.
Right.
And it's really interesting because music is sort of a physical thing. Like you really
very
can
much
feel
so.
Music. So it is interesting.
And emotional.
It's
emotional. You're just listening to it brings up
on so many levels.
Emotions.
Very emotional. Exactly. And in fact, it's exactly what I say at the beginning of most of my events, is that sound is not something we just hear, we feel it, and it does affect all of our subtle energy bodies. So not just the physical body, but the emotional body, the mental body, and even the spiritual body can all be activated and affected by sound.
I'm really fascinated by that because I'm a counsellor and I work with talking therapies, and this is a very non-touch, it's very verbal,
of
I guess.
Course.
There's a lot of non-verbal cues that you pay attention to, but with sound and the sort of the physical experience of sort of just the vibrations of music and sort of kind of listening and sort of losing yourself in the letting yourself follow the sound. Is that sort of what you're doing?
Yes. So that's how I guide people to, you know, in classical meditation, generally the directive is to focus on one thing or focus on being empty or to focus on the breath is a good one. But in this case, for people who that doesn't work for, you can focus on the sound. So rather than having a talking guide, you have sound as the guide. And I'll just say, whenever you get, you know, have those thoughts that distract you that are not serving you, like, did I put the dishwasher on? Those sorts of mundane kind of thoughts, just come back to the sound, to listening to the sound and feeling the sound, and let that be your call back into the now.
Right. We're going to go to a particular sound right now.
Okay.
Do you want to tell us about this sound?
What do we do? Are we going to this sound? Oh, this is this is a full club track. So this was the club track that brought me back into club land after a five-year absence. So my mate Tim.
We were waiting at the pier
for you to come back. AKA T-Funk. Everyone's like, when are you coming back with the track? So in 2006, we came back with this unpredictable apparent hit called Be Together.
And this is Triple Bypass. Stay tuned. More of Katie Underwood after this.
Hi, this is Dolly Diamond. Joy 94.9. It's my ninth favourite radio station.
Thank you, Dolly. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And I'm Katie Underwood, even.
Yes, yes, indeed you are. Yes, indeed you are. And we've been talking not only about your music, but we've been talking about the brilliant work you're doing in healing spaces.
Yes.
If people wanted to learn more about some of the work you're doing
there. Okay, so if people want to come along and experience one of the sound meditation events, I run 2-hour events all around Melbourne now, and they can go on my Facebook site, which will be facebook.com/UnderwoodHC, so the letters H and C. So if you jump on there and you look at my most recent post, I've got a little surprise for all the Joy listeners there. If you're interested in seeing me at any of my events, you just follow my directions and you'll find a little gift for you at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. So I hope you get lucky this evening and get to take advantage of what I'm giving you.
Thanks, Katie. And we're going to put those details on our Facebook page, James.
Yes, we will.
So what else? We've done death, we've done bisexuality, we've done healing.
Well, there's also there's another big important.
I have children. Right. Yes, yeah, two of them twins, even. Twins, even. Yes.
How do your daughters go with mum being a pop star and a public figure?
Look, it's only something they've really discovered in the last couple of years. They're almost six, so really before the age of five, they didn't have much concept of what that meant. All they knew was that mummy was a singer. I cheekily told them that I was once also a superhero and that I had a film clip to prove it, which was the second film clip. I should never let you go clip. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, who are too young to know, it's an animated clip, and I achieved one of my life dreams, which was to be made into an anime character. And I had laser beam. No, what did I have? I had a jetpack and I had laser beam eyes. That was my weapon and my vehicle. The animator asked us, what do you want your vehicle and your weapon to be?
Great questions.
Yeah. I mean, what else do you need to know when you're an anime character, right? So anyway, so I strung that along for a little bit. I think they busted me on that one probably in the last year. But they've kind of clued into, you know, I used to be famous, but I don't think they really know what that means. It's not like when I'm out with them, I get stopped in the street. Like if I had have had them during the Bardo years, then right. They would have been like star children, and it would have been just gross.
Yeah. Thanks, Mum.
It would have been just silly, and they'd probably be, you know, addicted to drugs by now and all that stuff. So they're not, and I wasn't, and that's fine. So by the time I had them, I was well out of the public eye quite deliberately. So they know I can sing, but they mostly know that Mummy does sound meditation events, and that's, you know, when I say I'm going to work, that's what we do. And so they're exposed to meditation, and particularly sound meditation, as being normal, which I love.
So you do it with you have sessions with your children?
Not regularly. We've done little chanting sessions at home. We do Om occasionally. They hear a lot of kind of chanting meditation music as they go to sleep. I did run one family meditation event once, which they helped me facilitate at the precious age of, I think they were four, almost five then. So they love that. They've been nagging me to do another one, which I'm sure I will one day soon. But, yeah, so that's kind of their normal. They don't really have any other concept. But, you know, when I show them my new clip, you know, the eulogy one, they like that. That was cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really all it's about.
You're fierce in that. You're pretty fierce in that.
It was cool. You know, they like that. And Zoe, she gave me like the full, you know, cool hip-hop nod and everything. She was like, yeah. That was, right. you look cool.
Because, right. Katie, you never wanted to be a pop star, I heard. Is that correct?
Not at all. I didn't even like pop music.
Right.
I still don't really. I like a few songs sometimes, but not really. And, yeah, it was a bit of an accident. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it really was. Don't get me wrong. I always intended to be involved in music. And prior to Bardo, I'd released a trance track, actually. Let's get specific about it. In the UK and even. And I was starting to do gigs in a jazz band. So I had all intentions of having a music career. And right. I was fledgling. You know, it was all kind of bubbling away, the tender age of 24 in Melbourne. But then pop stars came along and just obliterated everything else. And so I had to put those two things to the side. So it was great in the later years then when I got to go back to dance music and I got to go back to jazz and actually release a jazz album. So,
fantastic.
Which nobody knows about because I wasn't represented and it wasn't released nationally. And it's just one of those things. But I know we're going to get a segue, right? Totally
but,
a segue.
But did you get to drape yourself across a grand piano while singing the smoky?
I think I did at some point. I'm sure I did. There's still time.
Well, someone played a slow bass line.
I'm pretty sure I did at some point. I don't know how slinky I was, but there was definitely a piano and a dress involved. Let's just say that.
So, Katie, look, you strike me as someone who's firstly very easy to get along with and a lot of fun.
Thanks.
You've got a really, really great vibe about you. But also that you're ambitious and you achieve things. And I'm just wondering about the momentum that build with Bardo and the pop star days when you had this sort of other, perhaps private ambition that was sort of put to rest. And all of a sudden now you're in that space where you're really starting to do something that is very close to your heart.
Yeah.
How did you reconcile that? Did you notice this momentum going on in the sort of pop star world and you sort of went along for the ride? Or was it?
Oh, look, I was very present to what, I mean, when I finally got in the band, I was like, okay, so now I'm a pop singer. All right. And I was very much in that, right. You know, while I was in it. And that's how I am with everything that I do. You know, when I'm doing something, I'm totally immersed in it and I'm committed and I'm totally present until it's done. And then I'm like, okay, what's next? And sometimes I know straight away what I'm going to do next. And other times it might be years until I figure it out. And I think there were several years after, you know, the pop career was starting to fade, as it always does for everyone. Or, you know, the classic case happened to me where I was apparently trying to get signed on for an album deal, and then the album, the record company dissolves mysteriously and moves to Cairns and dumps your contract, and you know, stuff like that happens all the time. And you know, it was difficult. So I had a couple of years where I just went, you know what, I don't know what I want to do. But yeah, as I've gotten older, I've found my focus. And you know, at the moment I'm absolutely loving running the sound meditation workshops. I'm loving my personal massage sessions. I love working with my clients. I love being involved in transformation, but there's still a lot of other things I want to do. You know, there's a book to be written. There's a motivational speaking career to be had. There's a, I don't know, and teaching in general. What? I don't yet know. I suppose technically I'm teaching meditation. I am a certified meditation teacher, so I suppose you could say I'm currently teaching meditation.
I suppose it's almost like the future is like a deck of cards, and every now and then you just sort of flick a card out and go, what's this one? Well, oh, that looks interesting. I haven't done that one yet.
I think, you know, you can only think about it, or at least how I approach life is you can only think about it mentally in the analytical way, but the other half has to be intuitive. And you have to just drop in and go, well, what feels right? And I go with that.
And of course, the universe will sometimes just go, hey, here's something you didn't think about.
Oh, totally.
It surprises you.
Totally. Like a hip hop artist coming to you going, hey, do you want to write on a hip hop? I'm like, I do not know what to do with that, but you know what? I'll give it a crack.
Right. Yeah.
And walk in slow motion in a white hoodie through a
bit of totally right. Yeah. No stylist, okay? Yeah. I own that outfit.
Look pretty cool.
I own that.
But one thing that you may or may not be aware of, that there is a slow but very seriously emerging bisexual community here in Melbourne, and not just this show that's been on the air for nearly 12 months, thanks to Andy Mack, but also, James, you've been involved with the Bi Alliance for a very long time now. How long's Bi Alliance been going on
for? Oh, the Alliance itself has existed for, I think it's 7 years,
but
it came out of the Bisexual Discussion Group and Support Group, which has existed for almost 12. In September, it'll be 12 years old.
Okay.
So wow, that's a long time.
It is. It is. So the B in LGBTI, we're putting the B back on the map, and we might have hopefully some speaking events for Kata to come and help us out.
Oh, sure. Hook me up. Yeah, look, I'm always open to suggestion, you know. You can always say yes, but you can always say no, but sometimes you just go, you know what, yes, I'll do that, whatever that is.
But there's lots of sort of bisexual issues that are good to talk about and good to sort of air on the radio, but also it's just nice to be bisexuals talking on the radio about whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
So like we're out and proud bisexuals talking about motherhood or meditation or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And then we're just doing it while bi.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Totally.
Casually bi.
So can we listen? Are we able to listen to one of these jazz tracks?
Go for your life. You're asking me?
I just need a name.
Oh, look, Fever. That's everybody knows
so
that one.
So
it depends. Or do you want one of my originals? Oh. I mean, everyone knows Fever. It's like the Peggy Lee version. It's quite a nice version.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just go with that.
Let's go with Fever.
Give the people what they know.
This is a bit of live radio here.
We're totally living it up
this.
Right
we are while we talk
we're
to
going
you.
To a, should we go to a live track of Fever Ooh. Since we are live? Or is that
No. Go to the album one. There'll be there. It is.
So this is Triple Bypass. You're here on a Tuesday night. You're listening to Katie Underwood talking with James and Anthony. This is Fever, Katie Underwood, and welcome back. This is Triple Bypass on a Tuesday night here on Joy 94.9. I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And I'm Katie Underwood.
That's right. And we have been talking to Katie Underwood tonight. We've talked about your music, your healing workshops.
Motherhood.
Motherhood.
Death.
Death.
More music.
Death. Jazz.
Being bi.
Being bi.
Being queer.
Right.
Being here.
Speaking about being here and
I
being...
I think even is my tag tonight. I don't know why. It's just arrived as a thing now I'm doing. Crazy. All right, go.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of being here and queer,
yes.
How involved are you in the queer community? I mean, is that
most people,
whatever that means?
Most people I know are queer. So I've always, certainly over the last 20 years, I felt very much in the community, particularly since being in Melbourne. It was very hard to be visible in Adelaide, but when I moved to Melbourne, it just seemed really, really easy. So being in the club scene, portions of the club scene that are just automatically gay-friendly, queer-friendly, you know, for years the only place I ever went out was the market.
I saw
Three
you at the
Faces
market one night.
For those who are even older, or, you know, where, what is it? It's the Emerson. It's all this posho place, right. You know, and places like the Greyhound. So sad that that's dying. Yes. And you know, my local pub when I lived in St Kilda was the Prince of Wales. So for those, you know, the saloon bar back there. So they were the places that I went, yeah. You know, that was where all my friends were. So, you know, a mix of trans and gay and bi and lesbian and you know, drag queens and transvestites, right. And trans people
the
in general.
Vibrant community.
Well, yes, vibrant community, you know, and now we have gender fluidity and the conversation on trans people is really kind of upping the game. So that's exciting for them.
Do you find that... like specifically LGBTI related, you know, pubs and clubs and bars. Is that fading out? Is this something that's disappearing?
It does seem like it's dissolving at an alarming rate. You know, the loss of the market was massive. Oh. It was like, I remember the last few events there, you know, it really was this sort of outpouring of community grief and the commercial road scene here,
yeah.
You know, really felt the loss of this corporatization of that strip. And then now, you know, the Greyhound. Prince of Wales remains, but for me, since the passing of my old and dear friend Renee Scott, it was not the same.
Yeah.
She was the icon of that place. And when she passed, it just, yeah, there was just like a silence that existed. There was a hole that has not been filled yet by her loss. So, yeah, look, I hope that changes and I hope that new venues pop up and arrive so that people like me who, sure, I'm bi, but I was never comfortable in purely straight clubs simply because there was an energy there that I either didn't feel safe in, didn't feel comfortable in, whereas in all of the queer venues I could just relax and if I wanted to pick up I could, but if I didn't want to, I didn't have to, you know, fend off advances from drunk guys.
Right.
You know.
I mean, I totally get that. I spent many of my 20s and 30s and 40s now in clubs and still going. And I get it. I get the queer vibe is it can be. Even in gay male spaces, there can be problematic issues. Gay men still need to deal with their own sexism and misogyny, even in queer spaces.
Yeah.
However, like, there is a safety there. There is a sense of sort of community of looking out for each other.
And I have heard the argument, some people think that these spaces are disappearing because maybe they're not needed as much.
That's not
I'm
true.
Not sure that I agree with it.
No, that's
but
not
that,
true.
That is an argument that people
I think
make.
The unfortunate thing is perhaps they're not as profitable as...
Yeah.
Other types of businesses,
especially
whether it's
since costs have gone up, so
whether
much.
It's knocking clubs down to build apartments, or whether it's just simply opening up a straight venue where you can charge people, you know, $15 for a glass of champagne or whatevs. You know, it's just it's a different scene, it's a different vibe. So, I suppose on some level, I think you know that the queer community requires a bit more support, and that's not just socially and with identity, but also from venues that are willing to put on nights or hold spaces where people can be free.
Yeah.
And the queer community is more than just being out at clubs and venues. It's also places like this. So can we rely on seeing you back here on Triple Bypass at some point?
I will come back any time you invite me.
Yay!
Okay, we've got that on.
She likes it. She likes it.
She likes it. So, Katie, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and being so great and with your support. And also the very special offer you've offered our Joy listeners, particularly Triple Bypass listeners. So get onto Katie's website. We're going to have those details on our Facebook page and on the podcast that will be up on our the Joy website later this week.
Beautiful.
And coming up later tonight, after our show, we've got a little bit to go. We're going to play another song yet, but later on we've got Intense Burst of ABBA, which is a short-term show that's just running for 3 or 4 weeks, run by Andy Mack. If you've been listening to ABBA your whole life, you might hear some ABBA tracks you've never heard before. Andy's going to be playing some very rare tracks, some weird B-sides and live tracks that you might not have ever heard before. So if you like ABBA, tune in after Triple Bypass.
Katie, finally,
did you
an ABBA fan?
Oh, yeah, like along with all of Australia. ABBA was I think, more successful in Australia and most successful in Australia than any other territory at that time. We actually kind of made their career. So, you know, ABBA kind of owes us.
There have been a couple of bands like that, haven't they, where they didn't really do a huge amount overseas, then they came to Australia, got big, and that just sort of, I don't know, it was just that little bit of priming the pump to get them started worldwide.
Yeah, you just go off in one country and then all of a sudden you can say, oh, like every song now we've released for 10 years has gone number one, you know. Australia was just sick on ABBA.
Yeah.
And that wasn't about being queer. That was just just every Aussie loved them.
And we're still going. So tune in for next with Intense Burst of ABBA, Andy Mack. Katie Underwood, thank you so much for
coming on our show. It's so cool. So great to be here. So, yeah, don't forget to jump on my website. I'm going to tell you again. It's facebook.com/UnderwoodHC. And go and get your gifts. They're only available for another hour. So please get on it while you can.
And you have been listening to Triple Bypass. Jade, thank you for your email. Great show. Thank you for that. And I'm sure Katie appreciates your message. And you have been yet again listening to another show of Triple Bypass. This has been Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.